question. It's earlier this morning, I asked about Walden, and he answered the question. But I'm still bothered a little bit by it. My understanding is that most of it I see in the high school sitter that some congregations don't resume Tachnum until the 14th of Sivan, which is tomorrow. Today's the 13th.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know, for some reason I thought that the Mincha, the prayer of Tzedakah, is tied in with Tachnum, is tied in with it. So I was surprised today, in the minyan that I go to, which holds by the wall, that yesterday they didn't say Tzedakah, but today, so there was a young boy who it's like today, he started to say Kaddish. And the Rav said, no, you have to
say Tachnum.
Tachnum, okay. So it seems to me that what confused me was that I thought that if the day after Shabbos you do say Tachnum, then you would say Tzedakah.
Well, no.
Okay, see, that's what...
No, each day...
It would be more congruous, in other words, for
the
me...
The whole day... No, this is not the day of Erev. No. You're mixing it up with, let's say, it's Erev Rosh Chodesh.
Right.
Yes?
Right.
So for Mincha, you don't say Tachanun, because Rosh Chodesh is coming. It's a different Geder. Here, the concept is, there's 7 days... during which you can still bring the karbonos which a person missed on Shavuos, 7 days of tashlumim. Therefore, there's another week. Question is, whether the week starts straight after Shavuos, or whether it includes Shavuos, as it were. Yes? So, the simple pshat is that the 7 days of making up that had not having brought the offering on Shavuos, you've got another 7 days during which you can bring the offering, which includes today.
Okay.
But if you say Tashlumim include the Shavuos, then it stopped yesterday. That's the question.
So,
okay. Turn off, it's a different minhagim.
If,
here I told him not to say Tashlumim.
But it seemed to me when I thought about it that it would have been more congruous. Yeah. Maybe that's where I'm not thinking correctly. If they would have resumed Tachnum tomorrow, then it would make more sense because today they wouldn't say Tachnum. They would push it off until the 14th.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's tied into the Kabbalists. It's not. In other words, the two aren't intertwined.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
Now, let's come to a very important passage, which you find in yesterday's parsha, called the Blessing of the Priests. So, you'll find it, it's chapter 6, the end of chapter 6, in the parsha, page 165 in the Jerusalem Bible. So it says that Daber Hashem Moshe Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber Aaron Velbanav Lemor. You speak to Aaron and his children after him, which of course includes, in fact, all the descendants, cause the word of it B'nai Israel. Thus should you bless the children of Israel, Amor Lahem, speak to them. So, we know that the quality of Aaron, as described by the sages, that he was Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, or maybe Shalom Ben Adam Lechavrio, Ohev Et Habriot Mekovan LaTorah. The special quality of Aaron was, which is also shown in many episodes, that he loved peace, he pursued peace, he brought peace in man and his neighbor, he loved human beings and brought them near to the Torah. And now he's got to bless the people in this manner. So, there's question which people ask. We know when the Kohanim go to bless us, very fortunate that we're here in Yerushalayim, where it's universal custom to have the Kohanim bless us every day, every tefillah. So, not mincha, but every marav, but in the Chazarat HaShatz of Shabbos and Musa. So they introduce it by saying what? Asher kitshan mitzvotav tzivanu, levarech et am Yisrael, to bless the people of Israel. But they add a certain phrase. What do they add? What do they say? No, in the blessing.
Be'ahava.
Be'ahava, with love.
Wow.
Well, why don't we say on all mitzvahs, on expression of our love of Hashem, we should say, Shekitsham mitzvot tivanu, leishe pasuka be'ahava. It's also about love. Why does it specially say be'ahava?
Because of Aaron?
Yes. Because Aaron's quality, on which it says in Pirkei Avot, Hevu mitalmidav shel Aaron. All Jews have to try to become the disciples of Aaron. In other words, to spread peace and love. The only way you can spread peace if you also spread love. And that's where this, that's a simple pshat, a shekel shamas is
l'bava.
Peace and love. Some want to say, you know, this is expressed also in Amor Lahem, speak to them. In other words, you want the children of Israel to become blessed. And your blessing is in a way a prayer to Hashem, that Hashem should bless them. The article ends with the phrase, I will bless them, Ani Avorachem, is the end of the blessing. So therefore, we might expect them to pray to Hashem to bring His blessing upon all the children of Israel. And they are the channel to bring that blessing, because they are the ones who are there to teach the rest of Am Yisrael. They're the teachers, the great scholars are included under the concept of the Kohanim. It says already in the end of the Chumash, Yoru Mishpatech Liyakov, Toratcha Yisrael, the purpose of the Kohanim, and also the Levim, to assist them, is to teach the people. And as the last prophet, Malachi, says, that Sifsei Kohen Yishmeru Da'at, the lips of the Kohen, they preserve the knowledge of the Torah with deep understanding, but Torah Yevakshem Lipil, and the people will seek Torah from its mouth, because they are messengers of Hashem. It's called the Malachi, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvokotu, that's the message, they're messengers of Hashem. In a way, we say, it says in the prophets, in future times, all Am Yisrael will become like Kohanim. And that's already mentioned in the giving of the Torah. You have to become, said Mamlechet Kohanim, a state which is made up of priests, the Kohen Kadosh, the holy nation. In other words, in relationship with the other nations, we have to become the priests. And the main way of teaching is through example. Not necessarily constantly just preaching to them. We've got to teach them. And the teacher of high saintliness and morality and peace has to be a model himself. It's more important even than what he says is what he does. And people, even children, will take more notice of parents, not so much what they say, but what they do. The father says to his son, you know, go and learn. He goes to a football match. You go and learn. The son is not going to necessarily follow whatever his parents tell him. So the people that do what I say and not do what I do. Well, that creates great resentment by children and also by disciples. The person's got to try to live up to his teaching. And Aaron did live up to it. And the priests have to live up to it. So the question is, since they're priests, they have the channel, so they should pray to Hashem. So there's a question which is asked. Surely the Kohanim, when they read, say their blessing, when we want to be blessed, what do? We face the Aron HaKodesh. Even you want your blessing to be really heard, there's a custom amongst many, make sure when the Aron HaKodesh is open, go in and say a blessing. Go and say your request to Hashem. Through the Torah, we bless to Hashem. So you face the Torah, you face the Aron HaKodesh. The many people, if they've got private blessings, they go up to the field and nobody's looking, and they go to the Aron HaKodesh, and there they say their prayers. So why is it that the Kohanim go and put their backs to the Aron HaKodesh and to the Sefer Torah? There's even a custom which you will have known, seen here in the yeshiva, it's, you know, which you should recognize it, that when a person recites the Haftarah, where does he stand? At the Bima. But have you noticed what we try and, sometimes a person forgets about it, but generally speaking, where does the person who reads the Haftarah stand? Where does he stand at the Bima?
Face to the north. He face to the north.
Huh?
He face to the north. With face to the north.
Why?
At the edge of the Bima he stays.
Why?
Why it's like this, I don't know. I just
observed. You don't know?
It's like this. Because the north.
Can anyone guess according to what I've said? Who's sitting behind him? If he doesn't the Bima, and he says the Haftarah, the Bima, what's behind him?
The people.
No. No.
The Sefer Torah.
The Sefer Torah.
And this cannot be.
Sitting right behind him.
And this cannot be.
One or two Sefer Torah right behind him.
So he cannot turn his back.
That's the reason. No, you should, it's better you should stand at the side. That's where you stand at the side. So why is it when the Kohanim, they ask Hashem to give blessing to the Bnei Israel, and they're the channel of the divine blessing, why do they put their backs to the Aron HaKodesh, the Sefer Torah? Well, what's the answer? The answer is given in the Pasuk. Yeah. Because what does it say? Daber Aaron, this is the way you should bless the Bnei Israel, Amor Lahem. What's that mean? It doesn't say, Tomar Eli, go and say to me that I should bless Am Yisrael. No? Amor Lahem, go and say this to them. What's that mean? No, Amor is not just a commandment. What to do? In those of you who know Hebrew well, if you want to say, speak to them, how should you vocalize this word?
Yagid lahem.
Lo, Amor. But the word, even the word, speak to them. How would you vocalize it if it's a commandment? How would the vowels be underneath? What's a commandment in, have you learnt in the Ulpan?
Tzivui.
How do you pronounce it, Tzivui?
Omer.
Emor. Emor, la pashat emor. Emor means to speak. And it's much easier, Ashkenazi, what does Omo Elohim mean? You don't notice it so much with the part of you say the Amor Lahem. The Muslims seem to say Amor Lahem. But it's not Amor, it's Omor Lahem. What's the difference? What form is this Amor? Do you know what form it is? I'll give you a parallel. Shamov Zachor B'Dibureha. What does Zachor mean?
Remember.
Is it a commandment?
No.
Is it? Grammatically speaking? Thank you very much. What's it grammatically speaking? It's what's called a participle. Zachor is a participle. Participle means, from here we learn out, for Zachor et Yom Shabbat Lekadcho, we learn out that you've got to remember the Shabbat all the week. You shouldn't say the days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. These are really based upon idols. You know that? really upon constellations and so on, which are connected with idols. The names in English, to go back to European languages. But you should say Yom Aleph, Yom Bet, Yom Gimel, Yom Dalet. You should count the days to culminate in the Shabbat. Zachor, make sure that all the week round you prepare during the week also for the Shabbat. And have it in mind, the culmination. So Zachor is a part of it, an ongoing remembrance. That's why it was also Zachor it ashes lecham alek. Zachor, when you've got to remember what Amalek did, it means we've got to have a constant memory in the national awareness of Am Yisrael that we are threatened. Amalek. And how does Amalek come? Because the previous verse speaks when Amalek, it says beforehand, because Am Yisrael doubted Hashem's providence. If you start doubting Hashem's providence, then you'll get a strong reminder. As is shown also in the blessing which Yitzchok gave to Esau. He said to him, when Am Yisrael are low, when the voice of Torah isn't strong, and the faith isn't strong, Amalek will come to remind you. And that's happened in also in our generation. When Jews became, where did it all begin? The power of Esau? 78 years ago, where did it begin? In Berlin, in Hamburg, in the places which were the powerhouse of Reformed Judaism and assimilation. Germany was the most fast assimilating Jewish community in the world. Went over to Reform. And what are all the troubles today as well? That let's even get further. Today the Reform, and also Jewish Christians, it's also a type of Reform, and even there's a so-called Orthodox rabbi who has arranged, or is arranging, joint singing Hallel with evangelists. This is not putting your proper trust in Hashem and the unique of the people of Israel. So if you're going to start doing that to assimilate with the Christians and assimilate with the reformers, they're trying to introduce Reform Geirut into Israel and so on. This is the battle with the roots of the rise of anti-Semitism. This is what arose anti-Semitism. That's how it's been all generations of Jews should have learned the lesson by now. So, Zachor, you've got to keep on remembering it. So therefore, Amor is something continuous. It's not saying just a commandment, it's something of a continuous, Zachor, awareness of Shabbat, awareness of Amalek. For example, one of the Jewish philosophers who originally was a bit reformed, but he became much more Torah observant. So he said something unusual. He said, we Jews, after the Holocaust, we've got to invent a 614th commandment. You've read, perhaps some of you have heard of it. It's called Fackenheim. It says good things when it's philosophy, it goes more deep into Torah. But this idea of the 614th, in fact, at the time I was still living, I said years ago, to my students, get in touch with him and explain to him, maybe even wrote him a letter. What do you mean a 640? This is the commandment of Zechiyat Amalek. It's the same thing. What do you mean an extra one? This is just the most extreme expression ever of the power of Amalek, as it's described in the whole of the Tanakh, which we experience it today. And it's not different, it's the 613th commandment. It's one of the commandments, according to everybody. It's the mitzvah of the Torah. So, we have to remove it. Very important, our time. Yes. And what did Amalek do? It cools off people at Shakorfa Badera. It cooled off. Amalek was in fact the first suicide bomber. Yeah? Because they were ready to go and kill Jews, even though they were killed. You'll find this is the deeper Go in the Chumash, and it's enough. It's referred to a few times, killing the Jews like bees. They don't mind killing themselves as long as the hatred of the great Nazis is just the extreme expression of the power of Molech right from its start. They can't stand it. They shouldn't be in this world, the Jewish people. Even he said it himself, came from his own mouth, exactly what Amalek. He said, I can't stand, he said in conversations with, who is this? This is a famous book, Conversations of the Devil, of Yimach Shemo, together with someone. Yes. Reitling or something. Conversations with Hitler. Conversation with Hitler. Why can't you stand the Jewish people? Because they've weakened, in fact, it's important, Nietzsche, because they've weakened the body and the spirit of mankind. They've weakened the body through Brit Mila, and they've weakened the spirit. They've not allowed mankind to reach the level of a superman, because they have invented the conscience. And the conscience has to be destroyed. That's exactly what it says in Chazal. That's what Amalek wanted to do. He said, lo yare, what lo yare Elohim mean? It means, when it's used with Gentiles, lo yare Elohim mean, they have no conscience. It doesn't mean they don't know who God is. It doesn't mean just the idolaters. No, they destroy the conscience. And that's it. The conscience of mankind has been destroyed through the cruelties. When Eichmann knew quite well they were going to lose the battle, and then somebody came up to him and said to him, look, if you were now, who said it to him? I think even the Swiss diplomat said it to him still. He had immunities, you know. He had immunity, saved 100,000 Jews. What was his name? Swiss diplomat. Nobody knows how he was killed in the end.
Wallenberg.
Yeah. So he said to him, listen, if you will now stop, you've lost the war. If you will now stop these transports to Auschwitz and gas chambers, I'll make sure that they will give you an easy sentence. He said, on no account, never will I stop it under any circumstances. Because Eichmann. And he said, yeah, Eichmann said, well, I must fulfill my duty to annihilate as many Jews as possible. That's it. So this is, and he was going to be, you're going to be executed. And he knew Schreicher, just before the news, was about to strangle on his neck. So he shouted out, Purim Fest, 1946. Yeah. It wasn't Purim, it was Hoshana Rabbah. Yeah? They called it Purim Fest. But he knew that he was one of the sons of Haman. The 10 sons of Haman were the 10 criminals who, there should have been 11, as you know. One of them committed suicide. They weren't able to hang him. But the other 10 were hanged. And why in the Megillat Esther do we have an account of these 10 sons? Because hidden in the writing of Megillat Esther is the hidden prophecy of what might happen in the Holocaust, in many aspects. Not in this aspect. But they don't care. The main thing is to kill Jews. What's happening today? They've murdered the conscience. The Muslims have attached themselves to the same concept. And unfortunately, they've got non-conventional weapons. That's what we're faced with today. So therefore, Zachor. But what should the Kohanim do? Amolahem, speak to them. Hashem says, how can I bring blessing to the people of Israel if we have amongst the people of Israel Jews who join the enemies of the Jewish people to go and kill? They say they swallow wholesale, completely, all the lies of her enemies, and they help to spread them something. You've got Jews who are anti-Israel in very extreme fashion, and they also say Israel is wiped from the map of the world, unfortunately, they're such Jews. And there are Jews who want to destroy every aspect of Judaism. And the Jewish people without Judaism is an empty shell. So therefore, how can I give them blessing? So Hashem says, you can. With the power of love, if the Kohanim will do their duty, and the Kohanim today include all those who've learned a lot of Torah and could teach it, if you all teach the Torah with the spirit of Aaron and of love, then speak with them. Therefore, put your backs to my Torah, don't pray to me, but go and pray and face the people of Israel and tell them, listen, you want to get a blessing, then you've also got to learn Torah. Because what are the three elements of the Birkat Kohanim? The first one, which Yivrecha Hashem Vishmerecha, Hashem will bless you, that's the power of Chesed. That's the middle of the Chesed that comes from Hashem, that He gives all of us material blessing, gives us a material life, which should bring the response that we on our side should also do Chesed. Because the Ava, which the Kohanim express, is the Ava that comes from Hashem, should have as its response the Ava of the people of Israel, like we conclude the bracha before Shema, Hashem is Ohev Amo Yisrael. And what do we say in return? Va'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. Hashem wants you to love Him, just like He loves you. To love Him means to love all His creatures. And to spread the teaching of Hashem with the power of love, like was done by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, when he saw idolaters around him, and he didn't go. He called upon the name of Hashem. But how did he do it? His home was an open house for all those who were wandering, not just wandering in the desert, but didn't really know any direction in life. So first, what did he do? Provided them with a nice meal, like this is the example brought in the Chumash, to know what Chesed Avraham means. They were idolaters. He didn't start preaching to them, no. He started, first of all, go and have a rest, go and have a nice drink, go and if you need to wash yourself, you've been out in the desert. Then he brought the best food he could find to make them feel happy. And then after he said, of course they thanked him. He said, thank you very much. So Avraham said, don't thank me. It's not from me. It's all from the one who gives us. That's how he called upon Hashem. And that's how with the power which is carried on by Aaron carrying his Mitzvah Chesed in practice. And who is Aaron and his children? It's all the teachers of Torah. We've got to do Kirov. We've got to therefore speak to the people. I'm all of him. Don't speak to me. If the people would be better, like the Mashal of the king who had a son who was a rogue. Maybe it was a teenage rebellion. He didn't want to keep, not only didn't want to keep to any of the special ways of etiquette which he demanded the palace of the king, queen, but he spoke nasty to his parents, he stole things, and he wouldn't behave, not interested in any of the etiquette, and not interested in any morals either. So the king said, you can't stay in my house, sorry. You're not worthy to be a prince in my palace. So, if you want to go your way, then please go out of the palace. So he forced him to go out of the palace. And he went around with all the difficulties of doing it all alone. He was still a youngster. And people saw him going around in rags and asking people for food. So one of the people who knew the king, was a friend of the king, goes up to the king and says, you know, what's happened to your son? He's like a vagabond, a rascal. He's in some lowly underworld gangs. So the king says, well, I'm crying for him, praying for him every day. But I can't do anything. He doesn't take notice of me. But maybe you, if you've seen him around, you get together a few more friends and try and persuade him to go and behave. And then I'll take him back with the greatest pleasure. That's what it says here. I'm Israel. Oh, well, you're not interested in Judaism, you're more interested in Christianity or in the cults or in Buddhism. Or you're more interested in just being permissive and following pornography and obscenities. Or you're even interested more in not following conscience destruction. Well, so Hashem says, speak to them, face them and speak to them. That they should follow the Midrash HaChesed. That's the first bracha. The second bracha, Yashem Panav Elech V'chaneka, is the bracha, the light of Torah, which changes character and produces chen. Chen is a word, but if you translate it, it loses its chen. Now, chen is a question of a charming, attractive personality who is beloved by everyone who comes into contact with such saintly people. And that comes through the light of learning Torah, which is the quality. We say Torah. Torah is not just a Torah Zuora. It's not just a teaching. It is to produce light in this dark world. And then Yisra Hashem Panav Elech V'chaneka. This was the Amud of Torah. The Amud of Torah which was followed by Yaakov Avinu and then carried on by Moshe and Aaron and all the teachers of Torah. Then comes Yisra Hashem Panav Elecha. Then Hashem will lift up his face towards you. That means, how can a person really link up with Hashem? How can he feel Hashem all the time? That needs avodah. That is the height of making a strife of affection between our soul and Hashem. And that comes, that was the amud of Yitzchak Avinu. Torah, avodah, mil chasadim, all included in this Bechat Kohanim. The three sections. And what brings it all together? V'yaseim l'cha shalom. In the end, there's the greatest peace and shalom is connected with shalem, with shleimut. Greatest peace and perfection. Which will come from Hashem? If you will follow these three amudim, shalehem omed ha'olam, Torah, Avodah, Gemilah, Chasadim, represented by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, represented by the three sections of Bechat Kohanim, then you will have shalom to preserve it. And as a result of Samuel Shemiyah ben Israel, and my name will come from Am Israel. Here there's a mnemonic. The power of Ava Hashem to us, if it has the response of the Ava Vahav Tashem Elokeh Bukhalvok Nashom Matecha, of our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ava is 13, and 13 plus 13 makes 26. And 26, the numerical value of the ineffable name of Hashem, of really having constant closeness with Hashem. And this, then you will see that in all your life, Shivis Hashem Lenekti Tamid, Kim Mini Palemot, as we say, when the name of Hashem is always before me, then I will always have a clear path in life. Palemot. I won't fall down, I won't lose my balance, and I'll reach the highest level, closer to Hashem. And that will come of Bnei Israel. So you see, it's also even expressed, Amor Lahem, how should one speak to the people of Israel? And how do the Kohanim speak to us? They don't, we say, Tavoruch et Bnei Israel, to bless the Vahavet Amu Yisrael B'Ava. Am Israel is made up of millions of Jews all over the world who all also have to follow the way of the Kohanim, become Kohanim for the rest of mankind, as it says before the giving of the Torah. So you find it's all in the plural. Amor Lahem, speak to all of them. Not everyone you speak to the same way. because to really get to people, it says even to teach Torah, you've got to teach every person according to his potential and according to his character and according to his knowledge. But then Amolahem, then comes the singular. The whole people have to become one. Whatever a person's failings are, every person's got good points, and every person's got evil points, or evil temptations. We all have to recognize we are one nation, so everything is a singular. But then, it goes back to the problem, I'm going to bless all of them. Each one gets a blessing in a different way. But the way to approach spirit, to recognize also the unity of all Am Yisrael, and that we're made up, just like each person is made up of a mixture of qualities, and everybody's got blind spots, everybody's got certain weak spots, and everybody's got very strong spots. We have to recognize the good spot in everybody else, one eye to see good in others, the other eye, the left eye, to criticize ourselves and not other people. And that way, through the power of love, as is the teaching of Aaron, we can be mekarev of all of them to Torah, Jews and Gentiles, the power of love. Bani Avorchem, I will bless them. So I want to add to this the following, which I haven't seen so explicit, but I think it's an important point. I suppose I'll find it someday in the Sefer. But I have found in the Sefer, it was one of the great authorities in the time of the Beit Yosef, the Charedim, and he wrote a Sefer of the mitzvahs. And he describes the mitzvah, the great mitzvah, which you're all fulfilling now, Baruch Hashem, that we live in Eretz Israel. It says one of the conditions of the mitzvah, that you've got to live in Eretz Israel with simcha. If you're not happy in Eretz Israel, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah properly. That's one deal of his, which is important. Although others don't mention it, especially the special parts, but he says that's one of the essentials of Yishuv Eretz Israel. He says something else. This one is brought also, even the Shulchan brings it. That Birchat Kohanim is not only a mitzvah on the Kohanim. It's a mitzvah on ourselves. And I'll give you the example. I'm sorry, the Shiva, we can't do it. But Lizard Briskarov, he could do it, his own minyan. And he was also a Levi. But he didn't have a coin frequently. There was no coin for his minyan, or an older man. I used to also go to him quite often, as the great zechus to be quite near to him. I was finished his heaven right opposite, and I used to go quite frequently at Shlishis, and other times ask him questions. He was, some regard him as the greatest gadol of his time. He was the son of Reb Chaim Brisk. And all the Brisk yeshivas today are connected with him, his children. So, he, when there wasn't a coin, used to wait for a long time till somebody could bring a coin from the street to give Birchat Kohanim. And maybe based himself on what the Charedim says. He said the three mitzvahs are say on the Kohen to do Birchat Kohanim, and there's also a mitzvah on the Bnei Israel to do it. We have to also try to receive Birchat Kohanim in Eretz Israel. We won't go to the question why in Kutzlar is different. But here we have to do it. Shall I? So, but he says, since it's called Tevarachu, the Charedim says, Yesh mitzvahs asei al Yisraelem litbarech mipi ha-Kohanim. There's a positive commandment on the Am Yisrael to receive the blessing. So he used to wait, try and get someone. People said, but tichet tzibura. You know, you shouldn't let the tzibur, the community, wait. By the way, it's very important, the yeshiva. I want everybody to know that often here, the yeshiva, we have to wait, sometimes quite a long time, till we get 10 people who are all ready to start the Amida, which is Tefillah B'Tzibur. And people think, oh, you know, I can daven later. You should know the Ikar Tefillah B'Tzibur is that we should have a minyan, Nikdashti B'Toch B'nei Israel. You have to have a minyan available to say Kaddish, and also there has to be, so you might say, well, Kaddish, I don't need to say Kaddish, okay. But the Tzibur needs to hear Kaddish sometimes. But what's even more important is the silent prayer has to be said by a minyan. Because the minyan of people, they have real kavanah, it also creates a higher level of atmosphere and concentration and of tefillah. And also, we have to know our prayers to Hashem are acceptable if they come from a tzibur. Also because of the concept, none of us are perfect. But if you've got 10 people, even tzibur tzadikim, ubeinonim urashaim, they can join together to daven to Hashem. We've got a minyan. But if you don't have a minyan, you can't really start. You miss the one of the main aspects. And the individual misses it. So people should hurry up. They're also the dinim. If you come late, you can go make skip. Skip, skip, skip. Yeah, you do Baruch Shema, Asher Shvei Betecha, Yishtabach. You skip. Why do you have to skip? You can say them afterwards. You have to skip in order to be in time to be able to start the tefillah with the tzibur. Let's say there are 10 people. And there are a lot of people behind who say, oh no, I'll daven afterwards. Daven afterwards, you've lost the quality of the whole purpose of having a shul. That's what it comes to. Sometimes you miss Kriyat HaTorah as well, but tzibur. So you miss the whole quality of a shul is you have a tzibur of 10 to make up the minyan. But to make up the minyan is a duty on you. You have to do it. So, now the Bris Karov, they asked him, what do you mean, Tzich the Tzibur? You keep everybody waiting. People don't have time. They've got to go to their koilo, or they've got to go to their business. But what to wait quarter of an hour, 20 minutes to get a kohen? I mean, that we're not doing. Although the Charedim says it's a mitzvah on the Israel to hear. In fact, there is very prominent and loyal member of our kehillah. The main reason he doesn't come to some of our tefillah is because of this. Because he's very much, he wants to hear Birchat Kohanim. And we don't have. You know, Shabbat sometimes also it's happened that he's been missing. But on the whole, Shabbat Yom Tov, we've got some who help us a lot. And so they asked the Bris Karov, what's this? Why do you keep everybody waiting? He says, what do you mean? He said, and some of this, it is, some of the Chassidim especially, but also today it's not just Chassidim, all the Litvaks have become Chassidim, even some more. And what's one of the essence of Chassidim? You always go to your Rebbe for a bracha, for an Eitzah. Well, all the Litvaks today, they go to Chaim Kanievsky, they pound him huge pews. Yeah? I mean, he gets more questions and has to give more advice and more decisions what people should do in brachas than probably few of the Rebbe's put together. Right? So if a person knows there's a Rebbe and all his brachas become fulfilled and he seems to know what's going on, he gives you the right advice on every matter, and there's hardly any answer that he's given which is found to be wrong. And you see it not by people who easily believe and like to believe, but people who don't want to believe that the Rebbe has such great powers. Yeah? Yeah. So, they'll travel even across the Atlantic, they'll travel to different places in the world in order to get a broch on eight of this great Wunder Rebbe. Yeah? Where is it? Yeah. But we've got something much better. Who's the greatest Wunder Rebbe in the world? It reminds me, for some time, I'll tell you, there was a certain person who wrote about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I had the chus to be quite close to him and speak to him quite a few times. Yeah. Also, he denied absolutely that he's the Mashiach, apart from other things, to me personally. It's good people should know that. Anyway, the Rebbe, I said the biggest moifus of the Rebbe was his fantastic kiddush that he did for all Jews, and how it brought hundreds and thousands of Jews through himself and through all those whom he encouraged to come to Torah. Anyway, there was once an article in the newspaper about the Rebbe, which is very extreme. So I asked one of the Mishichistim, which I always try to demonstrate the Mishichistim were very mistaken. I took away the title, and then I asked this Mishichist, go and read what it says here. Who is being described here? So he agreed with me, the only personality that could be described in this article is the creator of the world. It was written by a Mishichist, creator of the world. So you see, you're going wrong. Somebody wrote about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Yeah? When Chazal say, Mora Rabcha, Mora Shamayim, Kemora Shamayim, but don't go and make your Rebbe into a god, which is what's happening among some Mishichistim. It's a dangerous borderline. So, when people start davening in front of the picture of the Rebbe, well, it's certainly got elements of Avodah Zarah in it, so let's not go in the wrong way. So if the person goes to the Rebbe, and he says, but here you've got Hashem Yisborach, he can do everything, and he's promised that if you will listen to Birkat Kohanim, then Hashem will bless you. You'll get all, just, that's why you should say any prayer that you've got. Say it during Birkat Kohanim. And then Hashem says, I'm going to fulfill it. You've had a terrible dream, which is terrorizing you, go and say a prayer during Birkat Kohanim. Whatever, you want a shidduch, beat Birkat Kohanim. You want a panosa, that's it. So it's very great. Anyway, what's the final blessing? Yaseim lecha shalom. The final blessing, we end with this in the tefillah, is peace. So, let's just end with this aspect of bracha. You know that there's a special prayer when a person's got dreams. And he doesn't know what they mean. Now when you've had a good dream, so you can thank Hashem to Birkat Kohanim, because Birkat Kohanim goes to the subconscious mind, and dreams come in the subconscious mind. And we know the subconscious mind, Chazal say dreams, it's 1/60 of the prophecy. It's also, there's no dream without the Varim Batelim, without nonsense. A lot of nonsense in dreams. So on the other hand, there is 1/60 of prophecy. It easily becomes nullified. So, if you've got a good dream, you hope it will become fulfilled. If a bad dream, you hope it will be transformed to a good dream. That's why you go to Birkat Kohanim, especially to pray a bad dream. Now, if you want to understand anything about dreams, it's very interesting. There was a Jewish psychoanalyst, a disciple of Freud.
Adler.
But no, different one. Jewish one, like Freud. And at the same time, he had loads of yeshivas, this one. Yeah, he knew something. He knew quite a lot of Torah. So he wrote a thesis on the dream interpretation of Freud and made a comparison between that and the last pages of Gemara Brachos, which deals with interpretation of dreams. There's a whole sugya.
Jung?
No, Jung wasn't Jewish. Jung had a different idea. Anyway, this was a brilliant, very brilliant man. It was called Emanuel Velikovsky. And afterwards he didn't carry on with psychology, although he wrote this thesis. And Freud became also interested in studying Talmud, this passage, and Talmud the Zohar. He started studying bits Jewish sources in his later life. Not like he wrote a work which is right real nonsense called Moses and Monotheism. I mean, it's just laughable. It's beyond any criticism from every angle. He knew, didn't know the Tanakh then, just read superficially read stories and immediately went on and gave his psychoanalytical misinterpretation. But anyway, this man of Berikoski, he was like a world genius. He started studying almost every aspect of science and also ancient history. He became an expert in ancient history, an expert in astronomy and in geology. And he wrote many works on different aspects of science. Most of them were debunking of the evolutionary hypothesis and many other dogmas which had inculcated into the academic world. And so his books are a great eye-opener, because he had also quite a good mastery of all the Midrashim, and he saw their truth, and he saw how this many things are reflected in ancient history. And he explained the worlds of collision as being planetary movements, as being responsive to many sudden changes in the structure of our universe, especially this globe. So, yeah, I just mentioned this by the side, can't go to, but I only mention, time is short, I say this by the side, that in that analysis of dreams, it says in the Gemara, there are three items where a person, through seeing it in a dream, can expect there's going to be peace. If a person sees a cooking pan in a dream, he should look forward for peace. If a person sees a river, it's flowing all over, he should also look forward for peace. And if a person sees a migrating bird flying from one end of the world to the other, then he should look forward for peace.
It's a good sign.
Yeah. These are all good signs. So this look at this verse, where it says here, Rech Hashem Yishmeru. And then it says, Yoseim Lecha Shalom. So on the verse, Yoseim Lecha Shalom, the Midrash says that Hashem will give you peace b'chnisoscha, when you enter into your home. And then it says, Yoseim Lecha Shalom b'tziyoscha. And then it says, Hashem will give you peace when you go out. Get out of here. Yoseim Lecha Shalom, Shalom Lechol Adam. He'll give you peace for every human being. Let's mention the Midrash, yesterday's Parsha. Three aspects of peace. So he said, there's three aspects of peace which you have to cultivate. There's an English saying, charity begins at home. We all know that saying. But what we're told here, b'chnisoscha, peace starts at home. Your priority has got to be with those nearest to you. Make sure that you build a home based upon peace. And Shalom Bayit is one of the greatest aspects of peace. And the Rambam, at the end of Hilchot Chanukah, he says, Ne'er Shabbat, come before everything else, the Shabbat lights, before the Chanukah lights, before everything else. Why is it more important? Because he says, because Ne'er Shabbat is to produce peace in the home. You've got to have peace in the home, enough light in the home. It's got to be harmony, husband and wife, parents and children. Work on that to create peace. Don't go and be a person and say, we need peace for the world. At the same time, you have all fights in your home. No. First start, Shalom Bayit. The first thing. And that's when it says, b'chnisoscha. When you go home, make sure there's peace. And b'chnisoscha, the second piece, is peace in your country. The river which spreads out all over your country, especially if your country is Israel, says all the time, Lati Shalom Ba'aretz, Hashem said. But it applies in any country. If you're in a foreign country also, Jews have to work for peace. Make sure always choose the party that's going to produce more peace than arguments. You have to make elections in any country you're in. Jews should always, when Yirmiyahu said you've got to go into Golos, he says, Dishret Shalom Ha'ir, go and seek for the peace of the city where you're living. Jews have to make peace wherever they are. That's our task. In whichever land you are, it's yours for. And that applies in your land. But Shalom L'chol Adam means make sure the peace spreads to the whole world. And today, these three aspects of peace are missing. We know we need more peace in the family. We've got to help others. Others come to you. You come to a Beis Din, a couple come to the Beis Din, and they want to divorce. The first task of the Beis Din is, let's try and make Shalom Bayit. And they contact people who work on Shalom Bayit and try and get the counselors to sort it out between them. They try to. Yeah. Shalom comes first, Shalom Bayit. The second Shalom, always work for peace in your land. In Eretz Israel today, we have to work for peace with all the parties. If we in Israel are going to split ourselves into so many different groups, and each one is at loggerheads with the other one, that's not the way. We've got to create peace as much as possible in every part of Eretz Israel. And then we've got to also, in our time, and that's we have to give it to our Rosh Memshallah, that in the world as it is today, there are such hate movements of hatred. And unfortunately, with their hands on non-conventional weapons, and to go and we in Israel have to work for world peace in the right manner. It means more derech ava. I mean, I just mentioned something personal because I know that we did have a prime minister Begin, and when he wore tefillin every day, and he didn't mind throughout his mind always speaking on behalf of Torah. He was very positive towards Torah. In his time, El Al became Shomer Shabbos. He supported it. In his time, he mentioned constantly, you know, that Psukim didn't hesitate to mention Psukim in all his life. When he had to make basic decisions, he consulted with the greatest Rabbonim. When he saved the world by having the nuclear reactor of Iraq bombed, with only one person being killed, to some extent he saved the world, because the Iraqi dictator was a maniac, and even said, "I want to burn the ground of Israel." Yeah. And resolved to do it. But he did it. It was a very brave act, and he consulted. So I said, I'm friendly with Eli Yishai, and Eli Yishai is friendly with Begin, with Rosh Hashanah, that he wants to warn the world of the enormous threat of Iran, which is even more dangerous than Daesh. It's clearly so. And he says, show now. You know, they're not allowing inspection of their real nuclear weapons they're preparing. And they've already sent 100,000 missiles to the Hamas, which can cover every area in Israel. I mean, and, you know, so you're right to warn them. But I said, he insisted he must make this speech a few weeks before his election. So he's using it in Congress in America as a platform to help him to be elected here. I thought it would help him. And President of America was very much, that was it. I don't even know if the Congress of America would have insisted, as they did insist at the time, that you should be allowed to speak. And if they would have agreed to postpone it after his elections, he might also have agreed. But since since in this he didn't use the path of peace, which I imagine, I know the mindset of people who go called halacha, the Gedolei Torah, I'm sure they would have told him, very good, you want to give a speech, a warning. I know it's a good idea to give it just before Purim, but you also give it shortly after Purim. It's just the same. You'll still quote Megillat Esther, which is very good. His speech was a top speech. He quoted Psukim, not like you used to do. And it's very nice. But why? Why do it just 2 weeks before election? Which is, using America to go and influence. Yeah. So I said, so I asked Elisha, try and persuade him, you should ask him, has he asked any gadol? He says, he can't speak to him about it. Well, of course, the only person, so I didn't take it further, if he can't speak about him, he won't listen. So he's obviously not going to listen to Haredim will speak to him. They probably tried, some of them. They should ask the gadol. Because if you ask the gadolim, you can get somewhere, like Begin did. And I know he's an admirer of Begin in some ways. So let us nevertheless hope that despite what has happened, that his message will gain more acceptance when they see now, I mean, it's reached such a stage where it's becoming revealed of its own that they're complete deceivers. They're not allowing any supervision over the real preparation for nuclear weapons. That's all hidden. And we're therefore, you know, we have to strengthen the Sadat Ishmael. I mean, in the previous war, there were enormous miracles. And there hasn't been. And yesterday, I heard something interesting. The story about the person who was in the officer training West Point Military Academy, a famous story where the lecturer mentioned history of military strategy which led to great victories. So he went to from the history of wars in which there was excellent strategy to reach a victory. But he didn't mention any of the wars of Israel. Well, neither the ones which are reported in the Bible, nor the ones in later days, nor the recent ones, which are filled with fantastic success, some of them. And the greatest one was the Six-Day War. He wouldn't mention it. And he kept putting up his hand, and the lecturer said, "Oh, come to me afterwards." Afterwards, he went up to the lecturer and said, "Well, why didn't you mention all these victories?" So he said to him, I heard the Nusach previously, that what he said to him was about the Six-Day War. You can't explain it through military strategy. But it was more than that. It's somebody who heard it directly in Monsey. It was a person who was an officer, and then he went to learn in Monsey, the yeshiva, or Sameach there, which I would have spoken that yeshiva. So he was in that Shiva Monsi, and you heard him. So he said all the military victories of the people of Israel from the time of the Bible until today are not a teaching for military strategy, but they're all the work of God and not the work of the army. You study it, so the Bible says it all the time. Sometimes we were not successful because we didn't fulfill the conditions for the people of Israel. Sometimes the condition is you're so wicked, so Hashem allows Esav, the enemy, to be victorious. And that's happened now as well. I mean, the Six-Day War was a victory. The Yom Kippur War was a terrible failure. Almost 3,000 killed. And retreating to many. And it's called in military history of Israel, it's called the earthquake. That's what they call it until today. So let's hope there'll be no earthquakes and we fulfill our duty and that to fulfill the Bicha Kohanim completely, that there'll be shalom, Yisimcha Shalom, peace, in all three levels, and the blessing of Hashem will flow through the people of Israel to the whole world.
Amen.